1-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back, Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being back once again. As the Mariners, well, you could call this payback, as the Padres paid back the Mariners in a big way, winning yesterday. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Also, a couple of, I think, really good interviews coming up that you will enjoy. First, a nice feature by Josh Kearns. He is back. He does a feature on the Safeco Field roof, which is pretty interesting. Also, Aaron Goldsmith will visit with Nelson Cruz coming off of an incredible May. In fact, all the Mariners coming off an incredible May offensively. They were sensational. And I talked with Sean O'Malley, and I think he has some pretty interesting comments about what it means to him to play in a Mariners uniform, which is pretty exciting. So that's the good stuff. The not so good. Felix Hernandez goes on the 15-day disabled list with a strained calf. Looks like he'll miss a couple of starts with the back date, as long as everything goes well. But miss a couple of starts. So Felix goes on the DL. And the Mariners were the last American League team to only use five starting pitchers so far this season. And they used number six, James Paxton, who was throwing really well. Jared Poto in the booth the other day talking about how well James Paxton has been throwing this year. But it was a struggle for him against the Padres. Mariners actually took a lead early in this ball game. They led 3-0 thanks to Robinson Cano, who goes yard again.
The pitch swung on, well hit ball to right field. This one is going. Goodbye, baseball. Holy smokes, a line drive by Robbie Cano. A three-run drive here in the top of the first inning. His 16th home run of the year. And just like that, the Mariners lead the Padres 3-0 here in the first. Holy cannoli, another home run for Robinson Cano.
And it looked like the Mariners were just going to pick up where they left off. I mean, just bashing the Padres the day before. Three-run home run in the first, but things would change in the bottom of the frame. The Padres turned the table on the M's.
The 0-2, fastball swung on, well hit ball, deep into the gap in right center field, and this one is gone, goodbye baseball. Will Myers, with his eighth home run of the season, gets the Padres on the board. It's now the Mariners 3, and San Diego 1.
And the problems for Paxton would really mount.
The lefties 1-1 pitch. Swing and a chopper back to the mound, up of the ball is Paxton. He'll throw wide to second and into center field. Here comes Kemp on to score. Solarte around to third. The Padres get a run out of it. A throwing error by Paxton wide of Robbie Cano and into center. And it's now the Mariners 3, the Padres 2. And now Solarte winds up on at third. Upton is safe at first.
So 6 runs in the first inning for the Padres. It was 6-3 after one. And the Padres just kept on scoring. 1 in the second, 2 in the fourth, 2 in the fifth, 3 in the sixth. 14-6. Padres pound out 19 hits along the way. It was a struggle for Paxton, just 3 2/3, 10 hits, 8 runs, 3 of them earned. The error was his. 7 strikeouts and 2 home runs on 103 pitches. Not the start he was looking for in spot start duty against the Padres, with Felix Hernandez going on the DL. He talked about it after the game, what he attributed the start and especially the first inning to.
Yeah, I was just way too amped up, going a little bit too fast, and didn't get my feet set to throw the ball, and then just tried to do too much, and was just going too quickly. And that first inning got away from me.
How about overall? That'd be dreadfully disappointing. I mean, you get the opportunity here, and you're going to be in line to get a couple of starts here coming up, and a 6th spot in the first.
Yeah, it's disappointing. You know, I was just too amped up and too fired up for it. It was too bad.
You said you're amped up. Did that affect not being able to get your secondary stuff over a little bit? It looked like you were fighting that early on, just a lot of fastballs.
Yeah, I was just going too fast and wasn't able to get that slow stuff in there. My body going just too quickly, just being too fired up.
Seems the velocity looked very good. It was just a matter of command with that.
Yeah, they were just eliminating everything and going after the fastball. And, when I'm doing that, it doesn't matter how hard it is. They can catch up to it here. So, I need to mix in the other stuff or hit spots with my fastball, one of the two.
Some pretty good insight there. Ryan Roland-Smith, who's doing some broadcast work down there as well, I thought he had some excellent insight after the game on what happened in the first inning as well.
Yeah, I think that first inning, well, first of all, big mechanical change for me was that arm slot. And when I watched him in spring training, I was down with you guys that last week of spring training, I got to see James pitch, and he had the arm slot he had last year, and then he made the adjustment and dropped his arm slot. That's a huge change, and it's difficult to really master that in such a short time span. But he looked, the velocity was definitely there. There's so much upside with the stuff. But like you said, coming up, and I think the heart rate was just through the roof. Felt like he had everything to prove, coming out. He made the fifth starter spot, and he just tried to do way too much in that first inning, and he just tried to rely too much on that heavy fastball, trying to blow it by guys. And when you're getting 2-0, 2-1 on these hitters, this is the big leagues. They're going to crush it.
Like they're looking fastball.
I think so. When it's 2-0, 2-1 every count, which it was tonight, you can see guys like Will Myers and Matt Kemp, who that ball elevated out and away. Those guys can hear that ball right center better than anyone, so they're going to make you pay. And he started to see him make an adjustment, start to throw that cut fastball in. And again, he had a tough night tonight, but if you can just make a few little adjustments, get comfortable, get more, a little bit more tempo, he's going to be okay.
Ryan Roland-Smith right there, good insight. And I thought Robinson Cano summed up things pretty well.
Well, we beat them at their place. I think by the same score.
Pretty close.
They came back today. I think they got mad, maybe. They got mad and... Yeah. You gotta give it credit. Where they swing the bat, passing was 98 to 100. It's tough. Even lefties was able to get hits. Mm-hmm. So, we got beat compared to let them beat us. So, nothing else you can do.
So the Mariners will take on the Padres tonight. 6:10 first pitch from San Diego. Wade Miley will take the mound. 5-2, a 4.95 ERA, looks to bounce back after a tough start, and the Mariners look to split these two in San Diego before heading to Texas for a big 3 over the weekend. And to give you a little heads up on the podcast tomorrow, I'm flying down to Texas for that series, the weekend series in Texas, Mariners and the Rangers. Usually, in this kind of situation, there's a day game on getaway day, and it makes this situation a little easier. But this time, the Mariners play at night, so by the time the game ends, I might be in the air. So the podcast, I don't know. It's probably going to depend on how quick the game is, if I can have enough time to get it done, or maybe when I'm there. I don't know. It's up in the air. So I'm going to do my best to get one out tomorrow. If not, that I tried, it just couldn't happen, and we'll talk again on Monday. But that's a little heads up about what may happen tomorrow. So with that out of the way, let's go ahead and hand things over to Aaron Goldsmith, who caught up with Nelson Cruz.
Nelson, an absolutely incredible month of May for you, the Mariners, specifically the Mariners offense. When you think about what that month held for all nine guys in the lineup, what do you think about the most?
Well, great comebacks, even the one we lost, the great memories, it gets you excited to think about it, the matter of situations, how many runs you're down, we find a way to come back, and either tie the game or win the game. Mm-hmm. And, as a team, you'll be able to do that, your confidence should be pretty high, rocking, so it don't matter what situation we're into, we're pretty comfortable we can come back.
No surprise you had a monster month of May, just like so many other guys in this lineup, namely Kyle Seager, Robinson Cano. How much do you guys feed off of each other when you see the ball jumping off bats and it's almost a rush to get up to home plate?
It's fun. Like I mentioned, you know, I think only, you know, three guys in the middle lineup. You know, you mentioned all the guys, Leonis Martin, you know, Adam Lean, through the lineup, you know, everybody could at some point contribute and be a hero. I think their whole also was incredible, the way he come up from the bench and do his job. Goody, I mean, you mentioned one by one, and he, you know, you can find a moment at one point and during the month that somebody did a great job for us to help us win.
Yeah, the Mariners already have three players with 30 RBIs on the season, and it's incredible when you think about the difference in this lineup from last year to this year and the amount of base runners that the Mariners have this year. When you think about the difference between last year and this, is that the one thing that stands out the most? Just you're coming up to the plate, and more times than not, Nelly, it seems like there's guys on base.
Yeah, no doubt. I think we did a really good job, you know. I think the front office did a really good job bringing guys that can get on base, you know, in career situations. Like, you know, Seth Smith was here last year, and he was the guy that always on base. But Aoki, you know, I think Martin did a good job last month. Marte, those guys find a way to get on in, you know, create situations so we can drive it in. Even when those guys are out, you know, we find a way to scratch runs, battle at bats, through at bats. It feels like every hitter gets 6 or 7 pitches by a bat, you know, and that's frustrating for the pitcher. I mean, you see the amount of pitches they throw in innings, you know, and it's incredible.
Nelson, you've been a part of some really powerful, very successful lineups over the course of your career. Your 1 year in Baltimore, you think about some of the names there, Adam Jones, also Chris Davis, of course. Wieters was down that year, Manny Machado, and then your time in Texas, Josh Hamilton's prime, Beltre, Kinsler, Michael Young as well. How would you compare this lineup this year for the Mariners to some of the best lineups that you've been a part of?
Yeah, very similar. I think back then I was still younger now, not anymore, but good memories, you know. Like I mentioned before, it's always fun to have the type of lineup, you know. And you don't have to put pressure on yourself. They have to be you, the guy, you know, you can walk. Me and Robbie was talking about yesterday how if you don't pitch to him, you know, I'm behind. If they don't do it to me, Seager's behind. So you can go over and over. And they're pretty similar lineups from the ones in Texas and Baltimore. Guys that can hit the ball for average and also hit the ball out of the ballpark or get on base, you know. Some great lineups, definitely.
Hey, finally, Nelson, the All-Star game will be held here this year. You've been an All-Star now 4 years, including each of the last three. Your first time back in 2009 at Busch Stadium. What is your fondest All-Star game memory?
Well, I think that one, you know. And it wasn't on the All-Star, you know. It wasn't on the plane. That was when I had the most fun. I remember I was on the same plane with Mr. Ken Griffey. Ichiro, King Griffey was flying to Cincinnati, so he flew to St. Louis, and then from there he's gonna go to Cincinnati. But we have a great time on the plane, playing cards, messing around, and I was with my idol, you know. So that was one of the greatest memories of my life, just because he was around. It was Felix, it was Michael Young also, and Hamilton. So it was maybe six guys, you know, just having fun. And I really enjoyed that time. I mean, I don't have the chance to play that All-Star, but I went to the Derby, and that was a great experience. I really enjoyed, you know, just to see all the fans and every focal point just on you. You know, it's amazing.
Nelly, thanks so much for the time. I always appreciate it.
Thank you.
And here's Josh Kearns. This is great on the Safeco Field roof.
Back in the 90s, Vance Akers was a journeyman iron worker helping build Safeco Field, and he'd often look up in awe at the spider web of steel being built above him.
You know, they were talking about building a ballpark open-air stadium, and, you know, Pacific Northwest, we get a lot of rain. Yeah, I kind of thought about that. Well, we do need a retractable roof.
Little did he know, when the stadium opened in 1999, he'd be the guy running it. The Mariners hired Vance to oversee roof maintenance and operations, and 17 years later, he's still there, perched in the command post high above center field. It's his job to open and close it, a 15-minute process that still causes Vance to hold his breath every time.
Yeah, I do. It's when it's raining or sprinkling out there and while the game is being played, it's an hour for me. Okay. But it really takes 15 minutes.
The roof was the brainchild of Mariners owners and management at the time, who wanted an open-air stadium but knew the risk of rain was always an issue. Joe Myra is the VP of ballpark operations, and he says rainouts were simply not an option.
You know, I think over 60% of our fans come from over an hour away, and to have a rain delay or you know, potential of a rain day, which is even worse, then people get undecided and get frustrated. We've completely eliminated that.
The roof really is an amazing engineering accomplishment. It's three steel panels span nearly 9 acres, nesting on top of each other over the railroad tracks when it's retracted. It's 11,000 tons, contain enough steel to build a 55-story skyscraper, and then there are the massive wheels that move it.
36-inch in diameter. We got like 128 wheels, 96 motors and brakes.
Not to mention all the other parts Vance and his team maintain 24/7, 365 days a year. Myra likens it to a cross between a bridge and a crane. And there's no other thing exactly like it anywhere else in the world.
You know, our guys are out here every day maintaining the system, checking the system, mechanical components, hydraulics, electrical components, structural issues, control issues, and all of these things that take replacement, upkeep, maintenance, that sort of thing.
It's a big job and an even bigger responsibility, whether ensuring the game goes on or a corporate dinner or a Billy Joel concert. And Vance admits that responsibility brings more than its fair share of stress, enough to even occasionally cause bad dreams.
Well, I dreamed one time that I started at the Sizzler, had the guys on the runway, and I pushed extend, pushed the button. Roof took off about 100 miles per hour. Jump off the edge of the west side of the runway and went out into the sound. Okay. And I woke up. Okay.
It's usually not that exciting, though. When it's go time, it's actually a relatively simple procedure. Head groundskeeper Bob Christofferson constantly keeps a close eye on the Doppler radar, then makes the call if the roof needs to be opened or closed. Up in the command center, a computer screen displays all the controls, and Vance turns a special key, then pushes a button, and the roof makes its move.
You could launch a nuclear missile just like that, right? Does the president have the other key, or?
No, this is the only key here.
Thanks to the constant maintenance, the roof has actually only malfunctioned once during a game, when an electrical storm screwed up the system.
And what they did is scrambled the system inside the computer and tricked the roof that the wind was blowing over 70 miles per hour. So it shut the system down, so we couldn't move it.
And all it took was one other malfunction to give Vance all the motivation he needs to make sure it never fails again.
One time I had to help with the tarp out there on the field because the roof didn't move. And, you know, I shake the tarp and start pulling, but I start catching cramps. And I said to Bob then I wasn't going to do that again.
Whatever the motivation, it means Vance can virtually guarantee the rest of us Safeco Field will always be dry, no matter the weather outside. For the Mariners Sunday Magazine, I'm Josh Kearns reporting.
And I chatted with Sean O'Malley.
What is it like for you going to the ballpark knowing that you could be in any role, starting in the infield, the outfield, coming off the bench? How do you get prepared for that?
There's a lot of things. You know, first starts with my, you know, my T-work, my everyday routine, and then, you know, once BP starts, it's ground balls, fly balls, you know, multiple positions. You know, I try to cover all three outfield spots, and then once the infielders start hitting, I try to cover all the positions across the infield, and, you know, wherever they decide to use me for that night, hopefully I did everything I can to be ready for the game.
So how much extra work is it before a ball game to get ready for the night?
Sometimes I feel like before the game even starts, I already played 9 innings, especially if I'm not playing. If I'm playing that night, usually I go to the position that I'm at and I take my reps there just to be ready for that spot. But, you know, if I'm not in the lineup, sometimes it feels like I played a whole game already before the game even started.
At what point did you know how versatile you could be on the field?
I think after about my seventh year of pro ball, I started to bounce around to short to second, and then randomly would show up in the outfield every now and then. You know, that kind of was like, man, I could see myself doing this. This is actually pretty fun. You know, you never know where you're going to be, so it keeps you on your toes, and it doesn't become so repetitive all the time.
Is there anything you like playing more than another?
No. Honestly, I enjoy it. I enjoy the challenges. I enjoy the preparation, the hard work that goes into it. I think that stuff's kind of fun. I don't know. I'm just kind of wired that way. I feel like when you have to work for something and then you succeed, it's more gratifying.
You've been at a couple of different levels so far, and there's been success at both levels. How do you feel like, as an organization, there's been a lot of changes, obviously. How do you think it's been different this year compared to last year?
Well, obviously, we had a complete makeover, mm-hmm. and, you know, I think what the guys are trying to instill here, you know, a lot of it's having fun. I think that lets guys be loose and be who they are, and they preach that, and I think that helps out a ton. You know, you just got a lot of baseball guys here, guys that understand the games, understands ups and downs, and, you know, are willing to help you work through whatever you need to work through to get where you want to go. And I think they've done an amazing job with that here.
That seemingly shows up, especially in late innings. I don't know, what would you call it, a team belief that you guys have right now as a team, never out of a ballgame?
No, I mean, shoot, you saw it the other night, uh-huh. you know, when Leonis hit that, he's down two strikes against a really good pitcher, and, you know, he took advantage of a mistake, and, you know, I don't see this team ever out of game. You know, we've been on the road, and we were gone, we were down in the first inning a few times, and next thing you know, we have 5, 6, 7, 8 runs up on the board. You know, this pitching staff's incredible, and, you know, this offense is resilient. So with those two combinations, you know, it's a pretty dangerous team.
Is there extra meaning for you growing up in the state, playing on this team that's playing so well right now?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I always cheered for the Mariners growing up. I always wanted to see a World Series, and, you know, never got to experience that. But it's... I mean, this could be our time, and, you know, nothing would mean more to me and my family if, you know, I was a part of that historic moment. So, you know, I'm just enjoying it right now and enjoying the wins as they come.
Who are some of the guys you liked watching most in a Mariners uniform growing up?
Where do I start? Love Edgar. I actually used to hit like Edgar in Little League every once in a while. Used to hit like Buehner. And then when those two didn't pan out for me, then I'd go back to Griffey. So, you know, I enjoyed all of them. Even Danny Wilson was the man, and now I get to see him and hang out with him in the clubhouse. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, what is that like? I mean, Dan Wilson's around all the time. Edgar's your hitting coach. I mean, is it surreal at times?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I guess being in it now and you realize what baseball players are, they're just normal people. But, you know, at first glance, it was like, oh my gosh, it's Edgar Martinez talking. Like, I got to take everything and just soak it up. And, you know, that's what we do. They're just normal people. But, you know, for me, it's a little bit different because, you know, I had posters of them up on my wall, I had trading cards of them. And, you know, it's just really cool.
See you later!